Well, today's teaching is called Tidbits for Life. And there's a big difference between tidbits for life and tidbits for living. Tidbits for life. So let me start you off with a tidbit. Perhaps you've heard us teach in healing school that over the process of time, I've grown to believe that perhaps 90 to 99% of all your problems are caused by unforgiveness. A long teaching, which Pastor Michael does. I'm just the end of the teaching. But I believe, based on my counseling experience over the last several decades, that probably 90 to 90% of all your challenges are founded on unforgiveness. And unforgiveness typically comes from offense. And offense typically comes from failed expectations. Unforgiveness comes from offense. Offense comes from failed expectations. From whence do expectations come? They come from pride. Every expectation you have of something, of somebody, of some situation is based on pride. Your pride that you desire that way, you want it that way, you expect it to be that way, you think that's the right way, you think the other way is wrong. Everything is I. So right in the middle of pride is I. Right? Right in the middle of the word pride is the letter I. We've taught a long time that pride is the first sin that every person commits. Pride is the worst sin, and pride is the foundational sin. All sins trace back to pride. Jesus humbled himself unto death. And if we humble ourselves unto death, or desire to, if we desire to do that, we give up our lives. And Jesus said, when you give up your life, you shall find it. How is it possible to live without expectations? Expectations are focused on yourself. But the Bible says we should esteem others greater than ourselves. When we focus on what they want, when we focus on what they need, then our pride is not involved. We're humbling ourselves before the Word to esteem them greater than ourselves. That's one of the reasons why people are so successful ministering in the gifts of the Spirit, ministering to others. Because in ministering to others, they're taking the word of God and serving others. They're not trying to get something from themselves. They don't have an expectation of the person. They have a hope and a desire for the person. Of course, you know, it does get perverted. I mean, some people think, well, okay, that means it's another trophy. I just led 5 more people to the Lord today. That's my trophy number. That's not a good thing. But leading to the Lord is a wonderful thing. But generally speaking, when we minister in the gifts, we are not having our expectations imposed on them. We are serving them. We're putting their interest, their future, their life above ours at that point in time. That's how we need to live all the time, not just in the gifts. That's how we need to live in the fruit. In fact, that's where it's come from. It comes from the fruit. If you are growing in the fruit, you're growing in love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness. Gentleness is unto others. Goodness is flowing unto others. So we need to focus on more of that. More and more, we need to get rid of expectations. We can only do that by being led by the Spirit of God, by being where the Spirit of God wants us to be, when He wants us to be, doing what He wants. We should desire in our hearts that at any point in time, somebody says, why are you doing that? Or where are you? Why are you going there? The answer is always the Holy Spirit told me to do it. The Holy Spirit said I should do this. The Holy Spirit wants me to do that. It's always the Holy Spirit. If the answer is anything but the Holy Spirit, you may not tell them that because they may not even know the Lord. They may think you're just trying to sound super spiritual. But that should be the answer that's available to tell them. If that's not the answer, then we're really moving out of being led by the Spirit of God. We're moving out of the kingdom of God. We're moving more into pride, the pride of life. My life, I can do what I want. I can do it Frank Sinatra's way. which is my way. Okay? We want to move away from that. So what's the tidbit? The tidbit is failed expectations create offense. Expectations are based in pride. When you're disappointed because somebody didn't do something for you, know that you're committing a sin of pride. That's the tidbit. Okay, why are we having this teaching called Tidbits for Life? Well, over the years, my wife and I have heard a sentence so many times, and we are always perplexed when we hear it. We don't know how to answer. And many of you here have said it to us. Okay? We don't know how to answer it. People will say, well, you know, I'm going to be out of town this coming weekend, or I have to go to a party, or my babysitter can't sit, or my dog isn't feeling well, I got to stay home. Innumerable reasons. And they say, won't be here this Friday, won't be here this Sunday, won't be here this weekend. But we're not going to miss anything, are we? And that is part that really throws us a loop. We understand the first part, but instead we're not going to miss anything. Let me tell you that we have a rule at ABC. If there is no anointing, close the meeting down and we all go home. Only once since we founded ABC almost 20 years ago have we almost closed the meeting down because there was no anointing. So if there's an anointing, it means God is doing something. Somebody said to me recently, basically after the person chewed me out for a while, which is okay, you know, that's how I learned. The person then said, I cannot understand why anybody would ever leave ABC. I mean, this is after a really good chewing out. I can't understand why anybody would ever leave ABC. And my answer was, I totally agree with you. I cannot understand why anybody would ever leave ABC. Why is that? Because to me, ABC is where I learn about God more than any other place on earth. More than I have ever learned about God anywhere on earth from anybody. It's through ABC I've learned it. And I see certain people nodding their head. Because it's true of them also. If there was a place where I could learn more about God than ABC, I would go there. Understand that. I would go there. Now, turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 13. You know, I used to ask the Lord, Lord, when I get raptured, I want to take my Bible with me. So I started affirming, thank you, Lord, when I get raptured, I'm taking my Bible. So I think he got fed up with it. So one day, he said, son, when you get raptured, you don't need your Bible. I said, yeah, but I'm going to need it in a millennial period. He says, no, you're not. I said, well, you got to show that to me in the Bible. So he did. Hebrews 6, verse 1. Okay. No, I didn't tell you that so you can turn there, but you can if you want. But right now, you're turning to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, okay? Matthew 13:46. We're starting 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant seeking goodly pearls. He's seeking goodly pearls. His life is built around seeking pearls. Who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So he's been seeking pearls. Pearls are important to him. And he's been collecting pearls. And then one day he finds this pearl of great price. He sold everything. All his pearls, everything he had, to buy the one pearl. See, I've been seeking knowledge. All my life I've been seeking knowledge. I must confess, I loved school. I mean, when high school was out, I was sad. Summer. All you can do all summer long is have fun. Let's get back to school. I loved school. I was a bookworm. I mean, if you laid a book nearby me, I'd read it. So I sought books. I collected books. And then when I got saved, God said, take all your books and throw them in the trash. And I took every single book and threw it in the trash because I had found a pearl of great price. No, I found him through knowledge, the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Turn with me, please, to a scripture you all know well, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. 2 Peter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God of Jesus Christ. How do we get more peace? Shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken. How do we get more grace? God's help when you don't deserve it. How do we get more of those things in our life? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the pearl of great price, but how do you find that pearl of great price? How do you continue to appreciate and benefit from this pearl of great price, who is Jesus? Through knowledge. And that is why I can't understand why anybody would ever leave ABC. That's why when the man told me that, I totally agreed with him. But I'm not focused here on why people leave ABC. They do so for many reasons. Some God moves them on. What I'm focused on are the people who think, well, I'm going to miss the meeting. I don't think I'm going to miss much. That statement that has puzzled Sarah and me for years, and we have never known how to respond to it. We're not going to miss anything, are we? We always just look at a mouth. I don't think our mouths fall open, but it comes close to it. We're not going to miss much. Well, let me give you some examples of not missing much. They're called tidbits for life. We think the OABC teaching is very pragmatic. It's very down to earth. It's very operational. If you do this, you get rid of that problem. If you do this, you achieve that promise. So, in general, we're not doing it for intellectual stimulation. We're not doing it for academic excellence. We don't care two hoots about either of those. We're doing it to change lives. ABC is a life-changing ministry. What does that mean? It's actually a life and death ministry. Many people are alive today who would not be if it were not for ABC. And many people are dead today who turn their backs on ABC. First example that comes to my mind of not missing anything. I had a man that I absolutely loved. I had great hopes for this man. Really great hopes. He loved the Lord. He came here. First time he came, a friend brought him. He came in a back brace. He got healed that day. Got so healed, he left the back brace here and went away. Never wore the back brace again for years. I heard recently he's got back on the back brace. Don't know if he still is. But that was years after he left ABC. He just loved everything about ABC and just really, really took off. After he absorbed a certain amount of knowledge, he started ministering. So I've learned all this, now I need to go minister. So he started ministering and he started missing ABC. So it'd be in and out, he'd miss some tidbits. I guess he thought he wasn't missing much. So he popped into one meeting and he heard me talking about buying gold. That was very important to buy gold. That gold's going to go up. You'll make a lot of money if you buy gold now. So he went out, took half of his retirement funds and bought stock in a gold company. Pastor said, buy gold. So he went on, he spent half of his money and bought stock in a gold company. Actually, maybe more than a half. Okay? Well, what tidbit did he miss? He missed a tidbit which had been repeated several times, which is the stock market is going to crash. He may have heard that. Don't buy gold stock. Don't buy shares in a gold mining company. Don't buy gold ETFs. Buy gold bullion. He missed the word bullion. So what happened? He lost half of his retirement fund. Got angry at me, never came back to ABC. He didn't buy gold. He bought gold stock or gold ETF. I don't know exactly what he bought. Never came back to ABC. Now, there was a tidbit for life. What happened thereafter went progressively downhill. So we're going to look at tidbits of life in four areas. We're going to go really fast. I'm not trying to teach it to you, understand? I'm trying to show you what you may have missed. I don't have time to teach it. Okay? Number one, I have said, I don't know what the scientific basis for this. I've read some articles and they seem okay, but I was led by the Spirit to actually do this before I even saw the article. So I recommend to people, do use underarm deodorant, but do not use underarm antiperspirant. So underarm deodorant, good. Antiperspirant, bad. Antiperspirant blocks your cells, and account these articles are correlated with cancer. Okay? I never used antiperspirant. Perspiring is a wonderfully good thing. How about sugar? Sugar is a drug. If sugar were coming on the market today, it would be by prescription only. It's according to the NIH, National Institute of Health. It would be a prescription drug only. Sugar has five major negative side effects. And we like to say, for those of us who don't bless our food. keeping in mind that God is a God of moderation, not a God of extreme. Now, you got to determine for yourself what is extreme. I'll give you some examples. The 5 negative side effects of sugar, off the top of my head, are: it messes up your insulin cycle, it creates diabetes, reduces the system that helps you fight off sickness and disease, depresses the immune system. The body can't handle too much, so it tries to buffer it, neutralize it, by pulling the calcium out of your bones. And those are the 4 easy ones. The 5th one is, it kills the brain cells. Again, not for believers who bless their food, who are walking in moderation. Now, let's talk about moderation. What do we think moderation is? The average American eats 7 ounces daily. 7 ounces of sugar daily. Know that the manufacturers deliberately try to hide the sugar content that they have to the best that they can. What is 7 ounces? Well, it's 28 grams to an ounce, but that doesn't help you much, right? That's why they tell you in grams. But how about 49 teaspoons? 1 ounce equals 7 teaspoons. So we, average American eats 49 teaspoons of sugar a day. That's not 4.9, that's 49 teaspoons of sugar per day. That works out to 3 pounds of sugar per week. The average American eats 3 pounds of sugar per week, which is 150 pounds of sugar per year. Now, if you give up one soda, if you give up one soda, one Coca-Cola, one Coke. Notice I couldn't say Pepsi. If you give up one Coke, okay, demons, stop that. If you give up one soda a day, one soda a day, that's equal to giving up 50,000 calories a year. One soda a day equals 50,000 calories a day, which is equal to not eating a full fast for 25 days. So one soda a day is equal to 25 days of no food. Okie dokie. Now, sugar is highly correlated with putting on weight. So what happens when we put on weight? Tidbits of life. 1 pound of excess weight, 1 pound of weight in your body, requires the creation of 100 miles of blood vessels. 1 pound of weight creates 100 miles of blood vessels. And of course, your heart has to pump the blood through 100 miles additional. 1 pound of weight creates 4 additional pounds of pressure on your knees. So a person who's 40 pounds overweight is adding 160 pounds of additional pressure on their knees. Another tidbit for living. Vitamins, minerals, and supplements are very good, but they can become idolatrous. Idolatrous. Cleanliness is very, very good. The Bible doesn't say it's next to godliness, but it's very good. So you should wash hands after using the bathroom. Me, I typically wash my hands, and typically in a public place, many places. I actually flush the toilet with my foot. Okay? And when I open the doors, I use a piece of paper, push the doors open, any door, any public door, bathroom, but primarily bathroom. If I don't have paper, I use my elbow. I mean, what's the use of washing your hand and then touching a dirty door? Because I tell you, in my experience, probably 80% of all the men who go into restrooms don't wash their hands, of the ones that I've seen. Okie dokie, tidbits for life. So wash your hands before you eat, after all chores. But cleanliness can lead to hypochondria. Cleanliness can lead to hypochondria. You're afraid of everything. Afraid of germs. And that can produce and will produce great fear. And fear will bring in all their brothers and sisters and cousins and aunts. You should exercise regularly. And you should fast weekly. These are all tidbits of living. I'm just saying. At any point, you can see which ones you might have missed. All these had teachings. I'm not teaching them. I'm just telling you tidbits for life or things that people have missed. These are just some off the top of my head. You should drink 8 glasses of water per day. You should balance your protein and your carbohydrates. Just eyeball it. Chunk of steak, chunk of rice. Chunk of steak, chunk of French fries. Balance them. And fiber There's one absolutely terrible disease. There's more than one. But the one I'm singling out, there's one absolutely terrible disease that is 100% preventable. It's called diverticulitis. All you have to do to avoid it is eat fiber every day. Eat fiber every day. Understand, the doctors don't really have a cure for it. But it's 100% preventable. It's your choice. Okay, so those are some physical examples of tidbits for life that people who think they're missing nothing when they miss, may have missed. The context, for those of you who were not here at the beginning, is I was talking about my wife and I are totally amazed over the years how many people have said to us, for good reasons, we can't come this Friday or we can't come this Sunday or this weekend, for good reasons. But then they add, and this is the part I'm talking about, they add, well, we're not going to miss anything, are we? That's the part I'm referring. Well, that's the part that puzzles us. We don't know how to respond. So I'm telling you some of the things that people may have missed over the years. Emotional. Walk in joy, peace, and patience. If you are, you're walking in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not the same as the kingdom of heaven. But if you walk in joy, peace, and patience, you stay in the kingdom of God, and God's blessing can overcome you. So if you start to lose your joy, peace, and patience, repent, renounce, and break. Remember, I'm not teaching. And invite the Spirit of God to fall upon you, based on Isaiah 11, verse 2. And lately, we've been saying also the Spirit of holiness falling upon you. Confess your sins frequently. Forgive everybody. And when you forgive them, use the expression, in the name of Jesus, I forgive them from my heart. Use from my heart. And bind the mercy of God to yourself. Loosen to your life every day the will of your Heavenly Father, the powers of heaven, the angels of God. And bind from your body Satan and every demon, devil, and evil spirit. If you have the slightest possibility of an offense, which is almost always true, assume there's an offense and forgive the person. There's nothing wrong in forgiving and blessing the person. But there's a world of hurt hiding behind not forgiving them. God is your strength, your personal bravery, your invincible army. Habakkuk 3, verse 19 in the Amplified Bible. God is your strength, your personal bravery, your invincible army. All those things should cause you to be emotionally walking in joy, peace, and patience, free of fear. Because God is your strength. God is your personal bravery, not your bravery. He's giving you your personal bravery. And God is your invincible army. God is your lawyer. Lamentations 3, verse 58 in the Living Translation. God is your lawyer. 3 John 2. You prosper and you're in health even as your soul prospers. Which means if you're relying on God to bless you in all areas of your life, the first thing you should focus on is the prosperity of your soul. Because if you focus on the prosperity of your finances and your soul is not prospering, God can't help you. Because God's word is first comes the prosperity of the soul, then of the body, then of your finances. God can't break his word. If God is to take his resources and bless you physically, and your soul is a mess, or your health is a mess, he would have broken his word. The sequence is soul, body, finances. Again, I remind you, I'm not teaching this stuff. I'm just listing some items. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. You can create death or life for your projects, for everything around you, including yourself. Proverbs 4:23. All the issues of life come out of your heart. So guard your heart with all diligence. Your life is not going the way you want it. Tells me you're not guarding your heart carefully. You're exposing your heart to all the mud that's in the world. You're kept in perfect peace when your eyes are fixed upon him. Isaiah 26, verse 3. You're kept in perfect peace. That's how you get in perfect peace by doing the three that I just mentioned. 3 John 2, Proverbs 18:21, Proverbs 4:23 will keep you in perfect peace. Concern and word about your family and friends, act in faith. Pray that the Lord would send laborers of the harvest to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray and then affirm it and believe God is doing it. And declare Acts 16:31. In the name of Jesus, I've called upon the name of the Lord, and I and my household are saved. And you do it till they all slept. Fear, how do you overcome fear? Well, you can start by affirming 2 Timothy 1:7. In the name of Jesus, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. God wants you walking in power. God is inside you. God is your invincible army. He wants you to walk in power. Think you have power. Have that spirit of power. Over what? Over every single thing. Whatever there is, you got power over it. So you start in 2 Timothy 1:7. Then you go to 2 Timothy 1:10. But we're going to take a detour before we go there. 2 Timothy 1:7. Then we go to Romans 8:15. 8:15 says, God has not given you a spirit of bondage again to fear. Notice the word again in the King James. God has not given you a spirit of bondage again to fear, but a spirit of adoption. So you cry, Abba, Daddy. Why is the word again there? Because we were bound up in fear until we got born again. When we got born again, God says, no more fear. You do not have a spirit of fear. You have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, 2 Timothy 1:7. And then we're going to 2 Timothy 1:10. Why is that? Because the Bible says you're all in fear because of the fear of death. Every fear traces itself back to the fear of death. And 2 Timothy 1:10 says, Jesus has abolished death. Jesus has canceled death. You don't need to be afraid of death. For those believers who die, Jesus is a resurrection. It's just a transition to heaven. For those who are alive, Jesus said, you don't have to die. Behold, I tell you a mystery. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We should not all die, but we should all be changed. Okay? Don't let the possibility of all the evil there is come into your life. Avoid letting evil into your life by remembering James 3:16. Where there's envying and strife, there's confusion and every evil work. If you look at people who are highly challenged, they have confusion and or strife in their life. Or they're living in a place with confusion or strife. Or they're working in a place with confusion or strife. Or for some reason, the devil has people chasing them with confusion and strife. James 3:16. Where there's envying and strife, there's confusion and every evil work. Number C, some spiritual examples. Communion, very powerful. Recommend you receive it once or twice a day. More during times of challenging. Consecrate your friends and families. If you don't consecrate your friends and families, meaning you are entrusting them to God, meaning that you refuse to take up fear because of them, meaning because you're praying for them and you believe God will take care of them. Meaning you're not letting them get between you and God. You're not saying, oh, how could this thing happen to this person? And then you get angry at God. Or how could this thing happen to this person? And you get depressed. And depression is a sin which comes between you and God. Or you're concerned about a loved one and you lose your joy. And losing your joy comes between you and God. Consecrate your family and friends. Why? Because there should be nothing between you and God. But here's a more natural reason. When you don't consecrate them, you're painting a bullseye on their back. The devil knows all he has to do to get you to sin, to lose your joy, to get into depression, into fear, is to attack them. So every time you're doing something for God and the devil wants you to stop, he attacks the person with the bullseye painted on their back. Consecrate your family and friends and your possessions so they won't have bullseyes on them in the spiritual realm. Watch out for guilt and condemnation. They don't come from God. Jump on them right away. The three great sins are pride, impatience, and fear. Of the three, impatience is the opposite of patience, and patience is mentioned in the book of Revelation 7 times. Patience is what's emphasized in the book of Revelation. Patience is what's going to get you through in these ending times. Jesus ministered under Genesis 1:26 and 28 as Son of Man. Called himself Son of Man 85 times. Called himself Son of God 5 times. So he ministered under the Old Covenant. Very Old Covenant. First chapter of the Bible. We minister under the New Testament. Matthew 28:18 and others. So we have authority and dominion over the heavenlies and the earth. When Jesus ministered, Satan was not defeated. When we live today, Satan is defeated. Because Satan is defeated, because we're born again, Jesus said, the works that I did, you'll do, and greater works. And he says things like, Psalm 91:10 comes to life with us. No evil shall befall you. No evil shall befall you. Luke 10:19. Nothing of the enemy shall by any means hurt you. Mark 16:15 through 18. In my name, you shall cast out devils. You shall speak with new tongues. You shall take up serpents. And if you drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt you. And when you lay your hands on the sick, they'll recover. Notice the last one is laying your hand on the sick. A lot of people like to do that, but they don't so like the first four. We live in a world based on the pentacademy, not in a world based on the trichotomy. Trichotomy is three parts. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. You're a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. That's true, but it's not very powerful. We live in a world of pentacademy, based on the word of Jesus Christ. The trichotomy scripture is only referenced once in the Bible. There's only one verse that says spirit, soul, and body in one verse. But there are multiple verses that say the following. Jesus says, love God. You love God with your heart, your soul, your mind, and all your strength. Five parts. You're a spirit, you have a heart, a soul, and a mind, and you live in a body. Five parts. That's how you can make your prayers very powerful and very effective and produce miracles easily and more rapidly for yourself and for others. Matthew 22, 37. Love God with your heart, soul, mind. Okay? And nobody's going to argue that you have a body. Other scripture says, and your strength, which refers to the body. We can live as if we have no sin. What does that mean? It means we can live as if we've never sinned, and so there are no effects of sins. What are the effects of sins? Every bad thing in the world came in because of Adam's sin. The effects of sin are the things you shouldn't want. But we all know people do have some sins and they like the effect of certain sins. Some people like to get drunk. But we can all agree there's certain effects of sins nobody wants. Nobody wants to get cancer. Nobody wants to drop down dead. Those are all the effects of sin. Sickness, disease, all these things. You can live as if you have no sin, as if you have no effect of sin. In other words, you can live justified. How? By the words of your mouth. Matthew 12, 37. You are justified by the words of your mouth. The Bible says you're justified by the blood of Jesus. But in Matthew, it says by the words of your mouth. Jesus says by the words of your mouth. You're justified by the words of your mouth. You live as if you have no sin. You live as if the effects of sin have nothing to do with you. Because they don't. But you have to maintain that by the words of your mouth. Okay, final category, prophetic. This is current and future. I didn't go back to the end of the past. Prophetic. So prophetic tidbits for life. The stock market, starting here today, not talking about the past, the stock market is going to crash. Not once, but twice. We're very close to the first crash. It could very well be October. If you have retirement funds and mutual funds, get them out. If you have retirement funds in the stock market, not necessarily mutual funds, not through mutual funds, then you should either get it out or find a spirit-filled believer who is very knowledgeable in the stock market and the ending days. And the ending days. Your stockbroker should be born again, spirit-filled, praying in tongues. Should be knowledgeable in the stock market, which should go with being a stockbroker, and should have a knowledge of the ending days. Those are your characteristics for your stockbroker. If you don't have a stockbroker like that, get out of the stock market. The last president we have who was born again was President Bush, at least when they took office. This is not what happens to them after they take office, but when they took office. The last president we have who was born again was President Bush. The prophecies came forth that he would have hold office 2 terms, and thereafter, no other president would be born again. The next president is going to be Hillary. You need to buy gold and silver. Everything we have here has teachings behind it. Okay? Every tidbit. These are all tidbits. Buy gold and silver. This is a great time to sell properties. If you're thinking of selling your home, sell it now. In fact, it's a little bit late. You better move fast. I've been telling people this for now 18 months, for 20 months. For 20 months, I've been telling people, sell your homes. Prices are good. Sell it before the market crashes. Don't buy now. Buy after the market crashes. Israel will soon be at war. Out of this war, there'll be attack. Maybe a better way of putting it. Israel will soon be at war. No, that's the better way of putting it. Israel will soon be at war. Out of this war will come the rebuilding of the temple. When the temple is rebuilt, it will not have the area in front, the covenant area in front, the courtyard. It will not have the courtyard. Gog and Magog, by Bible experts, are said to be Russia and China. Many end-time teachers are teaching that Russia and China are going to attack Israel. That's not correct. The Bible says in Revelation 19, and it also says it back in, I believe, Ezekiel, but if you read it very closely, you see it corresponds to this. In Revelation 19, it's very clear. Gog and Magog will attack Israel in approximately 1,000 years. 1,000 years. So they will attack them within about 1,000 years. The Great Tribulation is actually before the Antichrist. The Great Tribulation will actually occur before the Antichrist comes into power. That's Revelation chapter 6, 7, and 13. The rapture is post-tribulation, but also post-Antichrist. So you can judge for yourself which of those tidbits you missed, which of those teachings you wish you had heard, so that some of those statements are so bold. The rapture will be post-tribulation and post-Antichrist. So you can decide for yourself if when you missed, you missed any tidbits that you didn't want to miss. As for me and my staff, we want every single tidbit. That's why we never miss. We're going on a staff retreat starting in about an hour, maybe less. As soon as you all leave, we're going to go on a retreat. Retreating from the world, advancing towards God. We've been talking about it for about 2.5 years. It's finally coming to pass. Notice we're scheduling it where we don't miss any services. My wife and I have scheduled our vacations. The only time we've ever missed services is when we're out of the country or certainly out of state. And out of state hasn't happened now since 2005 because God won't let us teach at other churches. Domestically, for the time being, he says you're too busy. When we stopped teaching at churches, when God said to quit teaching at churches, we had about 30-something churches that wanted us to come speak there. So those are tidbits of life. And when you find the pearl of great price, perhaps you should sell everything and go after it. You've all found Jesus. But the access to that great pearl of great price is itself a pearl of great price. So you should all decide. Maybe everything I said you know. Maybe everything I said you've heard. I hope that's true for all of you. But I must confess, whenever teaching that is done, the people who most need to hear it are almost never here. So we'll probably make copies of this and give it out to all the ABCs because a lot of people are not here today. Okay. I understand a lot of them are watching by internet. You know, we do know churches who've stopped streaming live because their attendance went down. And the same thing happened here. We're kind of growing back out of it, but it happened here. But no, we want you to have have it available as an option, okay? That you can stream live. Okay, that's it. That's the end of my teachings. How is that?